All right, turn with me in your Bibles to a very familiar passage, Romans chapter 13. We were just there this morning, and we're going to revisit that tonight. We'll be reading the same verses we read this morning, verses 1 through 5. You can follow with me in your Bible if you would, please. The Bible says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake." Let's bow, please, for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, again, we have assembled in this place that you have given us by your grace, by your goodness. We thank you for it. And Father, we thank you for everyone who has assembled here tonight, everyone who's watching, everyone who's listening, that, Father, you might bring your word to us by your Holy Spirit through your servant. I pray that by your Holy Spirit you'd open the lips of your servant and the heart of every person to receive the engrafted word with meekness. And, Father, I pray that the word of God might do its work in us so you can do your work through us. I pray, my Father, that you might magnify yourself and glorify your Son. I pray you'd edify your people, and I pray you'd save the lost. And Father, we ask your blessing. We'll give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. This passage in the book of Romans, again, is called a call to the Christian at Rome to be obedient to authority and subject to the law. And so, since it is the Word of God, it was written to the believers at Rome, and it has been canonized in the Scripture and preserved for us unto this day, it is the Word of God for us as well. The Apostle Paul states that the powers that be are ordained of God. In other words, the Creator God established human government as a means of order for the safety and security of society. Without human government, there is an anarchy and a chaos, and every man doing that which is right in his own eyes. Paul the Apostle further states, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that those who serve in positions of authority are actually the ministers of God for good, because they are functioning in roles that God Himself has established. Now, I want you to know, here at Grace of Calvary, we appreciate the police and the firefighters and the EMT personnel and our military. Amen. We appreciate the brave and often selfless work that they do. We understand that individuals, families, institutions, and society in general can exist in safety and security because of their vigilance and dedication. It seems that right now the police force in particular is under increased ridicule and persecution. Some people and politicians are calling for the defunding of law enforcement, and some of them are even calling for the dismantling of the police. I can't imagine. What are they thinking? Oh, well, they'll send social workers to your house when it's on fire. They'll send social workers to your house when a madman is crushing your door with a gun in hand. They'll send a social worker, you know, when someone has robbed and ransacked your house. You know, it's just crazy. But that's where we live right now. The lawless and the rebellious have always been at odds with law enforcement. But those who enjoy peace and freedom appreciate the thin blue line that separates a society from disorder and mayhem. There are certain jobs that individuals undertake that require a level of courage and selflessness and sacrifice. And these individuals in law enforcement and firefighters and military and EMS have undertaken such jobs. There are professions that individuals enter into that by their very nature have others as the focus of their work. And these have entered into those positions and professions. And for that we are glad. And for that we are grateful. You see, these individuals help people. They rescue people. They defend people. They even save people from various volatile and dangerous situations and circumstances. And sometimes the very ones who they are seeking so desperately to save often resist their efforts, whether knowingly or unknowingly. But they persevere. They do their job. And that's commendable. Today is Safe and Secure Sunday, a day that we have designed to honor those who serve in those positions. Every day, they do their part to bring physical and emotional and medical safety and security to others. Today, just for a few moments, I would like to do my part and bringing to you all here tonight and to those of you in these selected professions the truth of spiritual and eternal safety and security. My first point tonight is this. Number one is sacrifice. Those who are in these professions are willing to make the sacrifices necessary to ensure the safety and security of others. And only those who are in these respective professions truly know and understand those sacrifices. Sacrifices of time, sacrifices of emotion, sacrifices of their own safety, and sacrifices that their families have to make so that they can do their job for you. Often these sacrifices go unknown and unrecognized and unappreciated. But without the sacrifice of these people, there could not be the security of all people. They are not only a physical being, but they, like us, are also a spiritual being. And we have a soul. And that soul, because of sin, is in danger. Now, all of you are familiar with the truth that actions bring consequences. Whether it be actions with a weapon, a match, or a substance. And sin has consequences. In Ezekiel 18:4, the Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And Romans 3:23, of course, says, the wages of sin is death. We read in Revelation chapter 20, verses 14 and 15, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. We go on to Revelation chapter 21 verse 8 and it says, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You remember Jesus said, ye must be born again? And Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. He said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. My dear friend, we are alive physically, but without Jesus Christ, we are dead spiritually. And we are going to physically experience the first death. Everyone in this room will. Unless Jesus comes. But not all of us in this room are going to experience the second death, which is the existence of the human soul in a place called the lake of fire forever. And this is the just and deserved punishment of our sin against a holy creator God who loved us and created us and who loved us and made a way of escape for us. But our rescue requires the sacrifice of another. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2, it says, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God. Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, that he should lay down his life. And then in John 10:15, he said, I lay down my life for the sheep. Four times in the Bible, it says that Jesus gave himself for us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3, the Bible says that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. This was God's plan from eternity past. Amen. That his son would come into this earth and become a man. He would be born of a virgin and he would take on human flesh and he would live a sinless life. And then he would lay that life down. He would sacrifice his physical being in the flesh on the cross as the Lamb of God and the substitute for our sins. Amen. And payment. Of such. The price for mankind's redemption was sinless blood. Adam was created perfect and sinless, and that sinlessness was forfeited by disobedience. And only sinless blood could atone for it. The Bible said, but God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he, that's God the Father, hath made him, that's God the Son, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. In 1 Peter 2:24, the Bible speaks of Christ, and it says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body upon the tree. I don't understand that. I can't comprehend it. But nevertheless, it is true because God said it and God did it. Amen. Somehow, the Lord Jesus Christ bare our sins in his own body upon the tree. And there, the Bible says he was made sin. He who is perfect and holy and righteous altogether, who knew no sin, was made sin. So that we, who are sinful, could be made the righteousness of God in him. That's incredible love, my friends. In 1 John chapter 19, verse 30, Jesus said, it's finished, when he hung on the cross. You know what he said? Paid in full. The price of salvation was paid in full. There's nothing for anyone to add. There's nothing that anyone can subtract. We don't have to add to what Jesus did by doing this and doing that and lighting this and lighting that and ringing this and ringing that and kicking this and kicking that. We just accept what Jesus did. He paid the price. Once something's paid in full, it's paid. He said, it's finished. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, the Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I'm here to tell you tonight that Mary can't save you, and saints can't save you, and priests can't save you, and pastors can't save you, and churches can't save you, and Baptists can't save you. Only Jesus can save you. Because he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, the Bible says there's one God and one mediator between men and God, the man Christ Jesus. You can't confess your sins to any man and have him be a mediator. There's one mediator. Jesus made the sacrifice. And there is only one thing left to be done, and that is for you to trust what he did. Amen. Trust him as his sacrifice made for you. 1 John 4:10, herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. The word propitiation means satisfactory payment. Jesus is the only satisfactory payment to God. Oh, my friends, you can do all the work you want to do, not satisfactory. You can be as good as you want to be, and you can be as religious as you want to be, and you can give as much money as you want to give, and you can say whatever you want to say, but nothing is a satisfactory payment to God except the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the propitiation, the full payment, the satisfactory payment for our sins. Now, all of us understand the need to trust those to whom we look for assistance. You know, I was a lifeguard, and I had to take a lifeguard classes, life-saving techniques, you know, in the water. And one of the things that is paramount to saving someone who is drowning is that they have to trust you. Usually people who are drowning are flailing around, they're panicked, they're scared to death, they're going to die, and so you're taught a technique to swim out to them, and then when you get close, not close enough for them to touch you or get a hold of you, you disappear under the water. And then you come up from behind them, and you put your arm around them and hold them under their arm and across their chest. Why do you do that? Because if you approach them and they see you, they'll grab a hold of you and you'll both drown. Because they're panicked. But once you get behind them and you get that hold on them and you put them, your body on your hip and you start, they trust you, they relax, and it makes it easier. Jesus wants you to trust him. If I can put it this way, he's the eternal lifeguard. And mankind is panicking around, drowning in the depths of their sin, and they're reaching out for everything they can grab a hold of to save them. And maybe this will work, and maybe that will work, and I'll add this, and I'll try this, and I'll just do this. And Jesus said, I just want you to relax and trust me. I will save you if you put your faith in me and trust me to do so. The Apostle Paul himself, once a religious leader and teacher of the law, wrote to the believers at Philippi and told them that when he met God, he said he wanted to be found in him, that's Christ, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. You see, I have a righteousness tonight that's not my righteousness. I have a righteousness tonight that I never earned and I never deserved and I never worked for. It's called imputed righteousness. It's a righteousness that I have because I am in Christ. Amen. Remember, he bare our sins in his own body upon the tree and was made sin for us that we might be made what? The righteousness of God. Where? In him. Amen. Faith in him and him alone. And so a sacrifice had to be made. Somebody had to sacrifice, and only Jesus could do it. Now, let's move on to number two, the word safety. When people are in perilous situations, they need to be brought to a place of safety, right? As a lifeguard, and I would grab somebody, I want to take, they don't want me to just swim around in the ocean for till we drown, right? Until we die and get old. No, they want, their first thought is, I want you to get me somewhere safe. Take me somewhere where I have safety. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse 31, the Bible says the horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. Proverbs 18:10, for the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. You see, towers were like the ancient bomb shelters. And they would build these towers, and they would be built strong. And whenever the enemy would come and advance against them, and they would start to have to retreat, they would run to these towers, and the towers would be strong, and the towers would protect them. And they felt safe. They had safety in the towers. When the Lord Jesus Christ saves you by his grace, he places you in himself. And he, according to Proverbs 18:10, is the strong tower, a place of safety. You see, mankind is outside the tower without Jesus Christ, and they're trying to fight the world and the flesh and the devil, and it's a losing battle every time. You do not have the strength, nor the power, nor the wisdom, nor the understanding, nor the ability to win against the world and against the flesh and against the devil. But if you'll trust Christ as your Savior, you'll run into that strong tower. He's able to protect us. He's able to give us a place of safety. They're Old Testament typologies, and a typology means a picture. And so in the Old Testament, we have typologies of Christ, and one of them is Noah's Ark. Amen. Right. You remember Noah's Ark. And remember, Noah preached for 120 years and told them that God's wrath was coming, his judgment was coming. They all made fun of him. They all laughed at him, kind of like today. Those of us who are born again believe Jesus is coming. Amen. And he could come tonight, could come tomorrow, but he is coming. And he's coming in judgment, just like he did in Noah's day. And when just before the judgment came, just when? Before the judgment came. Isn't that wonderful? Noah and his family went into the ark. How did they did that by faith. They did it because they believed God. God said it was going to rain. They said, what's rain? And they go into the ark, and God shut the door, and they were safe. They're the only ones that survived the whole worldwide flood. But they were safe because they were in what? In the ark. You know, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You know, when you trust Christ as your Savior, you're stepping into an ark of safety. You're stepping into a tower, a strong tower of safety. You're stepping into an ark of safety that will keep you and deliver you safely over the judgment to come. There's safety in the Lord Jesus you can't find anywhere else. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10, the Bible says, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, now listen, which delivered us from the wrath to come. As Noah's ark was built to deliver from God's wrathful flood, the Lord Jesus Christ came to deliver us from the wrath of God by fire. That's why the Bible says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You see, God the Father made a sacrifice, didn't he? And God the Son made a sacrifice, didn't he? Why? So that we could be saved from the wrath to come that we deserve because of our sin against God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You see, some people who we're celebrating today, their job is to take a person from a place of peril to a place of safety physically, medically, emotionally, making whatever sacrifice is necessary, don't they? The Lord Jesus put himself in harm's way and was made the necessary sacrifice and deserves to take you, and he desires to take you to a place of spiritual safety. Can you trust him to do that? Or will you continue to trust your own puny little efforts? And then number three, again, the word security. Once you're in a place of safety, the area and the individual need to be made secure. You know, a boat can be adrift with a storm approaching, and they can be tossed to and fro, and they're wondering for their lives, and here comes the little towboat, you know, who's made for that, and comes out into that storm and wraps a rope around the front of that boat that's in peril and starts pulling that boat. Now the boat has safety. But the boat really never has security until they get into dock, right? And get tied up. Now there's security. Safety is only temporary without security. As a matter of fact, safety itself is in danger without security. Security is the sustaining of safety. I want you to know that the Lord Jesus is not only our safety, but he's our security. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, in whom, speaking of Christ, ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So God said that when you trust Christ as your Savior, The Holy Spirit of God comes to indwell in you. And the Bible says he seals you with the Holy Spirit. And then in chapter 4, verse 33, it says we're sealed by the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption. In other words, God said, I've sealed you until the day I bring you into harbor. Amen. You're safe and you're secure because I've sealed you unto the day of redemption. 1 Peter 1:5 says we're kept by the power of God unto salvation. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. John 10:28, and I, Jesus said, give unto them eternal life, now listen, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And then Hebrews 7:25 says, wherefore he, that's Jesus Christ, is able also to save them, that's us, to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. The only way we could ever lose the salvation that we have in Christ is if Jesus would cease to exist. And my Bible says he's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Because he ever liveth to make intercession for us. So as long as he's alive, he's our intercessor. And for us to ever lose what he has given us and what he has sealed us with, he would have to cease to exist. And we know that'll never happen. I don't know about you, but that sounds pretty secure to me. We have a term for it, us Baptists. It's called eternal security. It's the security of the believer. When a person trusts in the Lord Jesus as Savior, he saves them and he brings them to a place of safety and he secures them forever. And only the Lord Jesus can do this. And he does it in response to faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2:8 and 9. Don't think you'll ever get to heaven. Say, I made it. Yes, sir, I kept the golden rule. I kept the Ten Commandments. You never kept the golden rule and you never kept the commandments. You'll never get to go there and say, I did it. I made it. No, when we get to heaven, we're going to go up to Jesus Christ and we're going to say, thank you, Lord. You did it, Jesus, and you got me here. You're my ark of safety. You're my strong tower. You're my deliverer. You're my Savior. Because he alone is God in the flesh. Emmanuel, God with us. The Bible says, and God was manifest in the flesh. He alone made the universe. And he alone made the ultimate sacrifice. And he alone can save your eternal soul and secure it forever. The Bible says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Dear Christian, sometimes we lose perspective. Sometimes we lose sight of all that the Lord Jesus has done for us. When a policeman or a firefighter or an EMT saves someone's life, that someone lives with a sense of gratitude and debt which they know they can never repay. What about you, dear Christian? Do you carry a sense of gratitude and debt toward the Lord Jesus for saving your eternal soul and carrying you to safety and providing eternal security? How does your life reflect it? Is your life a testimony of his saving grace? And are you forever grateful? Perhaps you're here tonight or you're watching or listening and you've never been born again like Jesus said. Will you let the Lord Jesus save you from eternal peril? Can you trust him to do what he says he will do if you only trust him? Stop trying to help him. You see, a drowning person doesn't need to help the lifeguard. They just need to trust. You just need to rest in his capable arms. And let him take you to safety and security. Allow him to do his job, if you will, that of rescuing eternal souls by his power. People have died for lack of trust. Will you be one of those who will suffer eternal consequences for your sin because you would not trust the only one who could save you? I hope not. And you know you can trust him right here, right now. Perhaps you're in this auditorium and you've never been saved or born again. Oh, I'm not saying you don't pray or you don't read your Bible. I'm not saying you haven't been to church. I'm just saying you've never been born again spiritually. You know, you can be born again spiritually right in your seat. It's a matter of faith, a transaction between you and God. And you, my friend, can trust Christ and call upon him. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Maybe you'd like to do that. I'd like to help you with it. We can pray together. I want you to look up at me if that's what you want to do. You're here tonight and you're not saved and you know it, but you know you need to be. And you believe what you heard tonight. And you'd like to ask Jesus to be your Savior right here, right in your seat. I want you to look up at me until I see you, our eyes touch, and then I'll know that that's your desire. Anybody like that here tonight? Say, yes, preacher, if I'm honest, I need to do that. And I want to do it. And I want to do it now. Anybody like that here tonight? Heavenly Father, thank you for your Son. Thank you for the salvation he alone can provide. Thank you for the sacrifice he made so that he could take us to safety and provide for us that security that only he can make. He's our strong tower. He's our ark. He's our rock. And I pray, my Heavenly Father, tonight that as Christians, we'll appreciate him more and more. And Lord, we would meditate upon the sacrifice he made and the confidence we have in him, for he ever liveth to make intercession for us. How can we ever repay such a debt? We can't. All we can do is praise you for it and live in light of it. I pray you'd bless our invitation, and I pray you'd glorify yourself, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together, please. We're going to sing our closing hymn. Our closing hymn tonight is number 115, Jesus Paid It All. All to him I owe. You see, sin left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Perhaps tonight, dear Christian, you need to come and spend a couple moments with the Lord and thank him once again for being your strong tower, your ark of safety, your rock of defense, a shade by day and defense by night. Maybe tonight you need to come, dear Christian, and say, Lord, here am I. I know I need to be more involved. I need things in my life. I need your power. And if you're here tonight and you're not sure you're going to heaven, you can be. The Bible said so. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. God wants you to know. Don't you want to know? Then you come and see me. We'll help you with that, all right? Just come on up and meet me. We'll help you. Know for sure you're going to heaven.